I want to welcome you to the new Drag Champ Show. The three amigos are leading this show, none other than Jake Hodge, Mr. Hoodrich, Ryan Gleghorn, and Gary Don Free, Mr. Drag Champ himself. Now, I wouldn't ride to the store with these three yahoos, but you put them together for some good old stories, some racing news, some results from all over the world. Now, that's a party you just don't want to miss. So, let's tune in, let's hang on, and let's get it on. I want to welcome you to the Drag Champ Show.
So with us on the Drag Champ Show this evening is the guy from Greentown, Indiana. He is the vice president of Indianapolis Wind Supply. He is the CEO of May Race Cars. But I think most importantly to Wes May, he's a husband, a father, and one badass race car driver whenever he decides he wants to be. He usually shows up in Montgomery. Sometimes he'll show up, you know, back in the old tri-state days. But Wes, it is a late evening here in Indiana. How's it going up north?
I'm doing great. You guys?
Wonderful.
Yeah, have you caught up on sleep from the weekend yet? Because I haven't.
Heck no. That was like 1:30, something like that, when I got home Monday morning. And then, you know, the normal day job stuff, you got to get rolling too. So, yeah, I'm not caught up.
You can't say
it would have been better if I would have won. I would have been able to sleep a little bit better. But, you know, hey, that's 2/1000ths away from on that. So
you can't say you know the normal day job stuff. You've got Ryan and I on this podcast with you.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we don't work.
Yeah, Wes. Jake tells me today, he's like, man, I'm tired. I text him to remind him we have a podcast to record. He's like, I'm tired. I'm like, screw you, dude. Working two jobs.
Shut up.
Working
drag
a job,
yourself over
running
the
freaking empire on the side. And I put in like 2 15-hour days on the weekend just trying to get a junior and a dragster, my dragster, ready to go racing at some point here, so.
Like, you get yours all back together now?
Mine is back together, and I fired it up, and it went in the trailer and backed itself into the trailer. So I guess we're good to go. We're going to go.
There you go. You're ready to rock.
We are going to go let her rip and see what she does.
There you go.
She survived the dyno. Jalen Sherman tried to wear it out on the dyno, but we got it all tuned out, and that was kind of exciting too. So
that's the best part, especially, you know, you put it in a car, and you know everything's running and not leaking, and you can go to the racetrack and just wear it out. So.
Yeah. Well, I think the best part for me is just surviving the dyno. You know, I'm just saying.
You're like, fuck yes, it made it.
I mean, they said like a dyno pull's worth, what, 5 or 7 runs, something like that? But,
yeah.
I mean, that's 5 or 7 runs more than it normally makes.
Jake's like, yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. We made how many dyno pulls? 5? Yeah, that's 25 passes. I'm good to go.
Yeah. So, not that you live in Gary May's shadow, but you grew up watching your dad just absolutely wreck people. Your dad does everything himself. You do everything yourself, other than Nice builds all the engines and stuff for you. You know, what made you take on the venture of building carburetors? Because I know that you, like, always did your own stuff. I think it was the APD carburetors or Rupert, one of the two. But you got it from them, and they did your own thing to them. But what was like, I think I want to get my own bowls machine, and I want to get my own, you know, billet meter and blocks and all that good stuff. What led you to that point?
I have had a bunch of the car. I mean, I've had Rupert's, I've had APD's, I've had KB, I've had a circle track carburetor.
Willys.
And it just it was originally for a circle track motor is what it was for. And it just seemed like nothing really ever fit our combos. So, you know, just changing stuff in the metering blocks, in the air bleed package, fuel pressure, booster configuration. I mean, that stuff plays a huge role. And, you know, I've had everything from a 700 CFM to 1,050 CFM on my car. I've not tried a Dominator yet, but I'm not saying I haven't tried. I'm not going to. But I don't have enough motor, but that's okay. That's here. But the wives and stuff like that, I mean, friends, I've tried a bunch of stuff. And it's a avenue that I just thought would be, you know, it's something that I've always strived to do. I've always wanted my own business. So obviously that's what I'm pushing for. I think it's striving. I think everybody knows who May Race Cards is out there, obviously. It's not going to quit anytime soon, and it's been going crazy. So I guess it's only the way, the rest of the way, you got to be continuing to go up the hill, not down the hill, right?
Yeah. Is it okay for me to say that I needed stuff yesterday and showed up at my door today, or can I not say that out loud?
Yes, you can say that out loud. It was parts.
Okay. All right, I didn't get a whole carburetor. I got parts overnighted so I can make
absolutely,
it to Bristol.
Absolutely.
So. If it sucks this weekend, it's because it's Ryan's fault because he's also going to drive it.
Am I late with race cars?
Bristol sucks, okay? That's all I'm telling you. Like when I have customers call and we make changes and they say, man, my car was great at Bristol. I'm like, hold on a second. I'm writing this baby down because we got to make sure we know what to do here.
Everybody's going to
be on the Hook and Hillbilly this weekend?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not stupid enough to double because I know how good I am off the foot. It's like me off the top, but worse. So I think we'll be all right. Ryan can make it look bad. I can make it look bad, but we'll have fun doing it.
Hell hey, yeah. Foot braking is tough. I foot braked at the Southern foot brake deal last year.
Yep.
And they wore me out. I mean, they beat me to death. And what was bad is we made test passes prior to going down there and, you know, get your RPM set and how it feels good. I'm like, man, I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah, quick funny story. So I pull in there and I thought, I'm going to block the whole tree and I'm just going to wash the bottom during the day because I feel like that's the best way to do it if you don't have glare. So I pull up there, put the blinder down, torque it up, get in deep, and I thought I seen the bottom bulb, and it was not the bottom bulb. It was the second bulb glaring, and I freaking floored it, and I looked up. I'm negative five something, on, like, you know, 5/10 on the tree. I'm like, look like a complete idiot here. I sure don't know why you're washing that. Scott was like, did that say negative 500 something red? And I was like, yep, I left on the second. Yeah, I can't use the blinder. I just got to block the other side of the tree and stare at the bottom. But, yeah, I tried it. But, yeah, I looked like an idiot there for a while.
I worked that race last year. I remember that.
Yeah. Then I hit in practice, and I hit like three or four lines. I was good. Three or four hits in a row. It was like 20 or 10. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm good. Pull up there first round. West fell out of the car again. He was like 70, and then I was like 20 red. And I'm like, what in the hell are you doing here?
I say that a lot myself when I go racing.
So, you know, you've always stuck with combinations that have worked for you for a long time. You know, you stepped the engine program up just a little bit or maybe just turned it up to where it's full potential lately. But forever, that thing was dialed 673, and it was on Phoenixes, and it was on the popper, and you have literally more buttons on the steering wheel than people have switches in their car. You know, why the change to 650? Was it just a hard spot at 670? And then can you tell us what most of the buttons do in your car? Because I know you won't tell us all of them because it's your deal and that's what makes it cool is kind of the secrecy of it. I see you fist bump the center one every single time you let go.
I'm going to say 95% of the times I let go, I hit the center one.
It's not that hard because I don't hear it. Is that yep. The big bump or the little bump?
I only have one bump. It's a little one, 3,000ths in it. Okay. So if you see me hitting it bad, it's because it's not good.
I see it with a closed fist, like 1, 2, 3, 4, and done.
Oh yeah.
So wait, you're hitting the bump down every time? Are you set up to kill it? And if you don't kill it, you bump down?
So I don't know what my deal is over the past couple of years, but I set for my light, and I'm not setting up to be 15 or 18 to where I got to bump every time. But it's like if I make 10 passes. 2 to 3 of them, I crush it, and I know that I've killed it. The other ones, with only 3,000ths in there, I feel like I can bump to it. So, I mean, when I let go, number pops in my head, 13, 18, 16, whatever it is, and that's I try to bump down to be, you know, 7 to 12 is my target area. That's where I like to be. If I'm below that, I've bumped it too much and I've misread it, or if it's above that, then I sucked worse than I thought I did. So,
hey, if you're telling me I'm 13 to 18 or 7 to 12, I'm not bumping nothing.
See, I'm done on top of it by then. So
well, Ryan kept telling me to take the layout. I kept going 20s, and he's like, take the layout. I said, hell, I'm bumping down to go 20s. What are you talking about? I said, if I'm 20 or better, I feel like I killed it. I ain't touching the bump down.
Crush this thing.
But we're doing wheelies now.
Yeah, what's up yep. with the wheelies?
Let's see. That'd be 3 years ago now. I wanted to put a little compression in it because, you know, everybody sees – they think, oh, that thing's deadly. It's always on. It's always on, which I'm not saying it's not good prior to. I thought a little compression would help it, so I put a little compression in it, and that little compression picked it up like just a little over 2/10. So that's where the 650s, I mean, it's been 40s or whatever at that. That's kind of the same engine combination. It's just had a little compression added to it. Everything was consistent. Everything was good. Traction wise, sometimes it wasn't the best that I wanted it to be. It would hook, but it was not repeating. So I took and put my tri-state weight in. Anybody that's raced tri-state over the years knows that track is hot. and was greasy. And if you could make a car go down tri-state like we did, you could win a lot. And we won a lot over there. So I put the tri-state weight back in it. So that's where we went from 650s to 670s. And obviously you put a little weight back in the – you put a fat check back in the trunk back there, and it does little wheelies now. So,
Shant 280, Shant a lady.
But it sure looks a lot better leaving. Today I was looking for a photo for the Facebook post, and I'm going, no, I don't want that one. That's not how that car leaves. That must be an old photo. I remember watching you guys when I first started watching big bracket racing and big dollar bracket racing, and that car would always just leave, just roll straight out, you know, and it never straight had out. Any movement. Yep. And I'm thinking, man, that's a weird way to leave, but that guy sure does win a lot.
Cheater!
Yep. I had to have my front wheel counter on. Now I got it on the back wheels. So. That's how they work. I don't know. We went to a really, really crappy track one time, and I had that baby down and tried it, and it was really good, and I didn't care really if it – I mean, it is fun doing wheelies. It don't do very much of one now, but it's still a little bit of fun. But as long as that number comes up the same on the board and you can win, that's what I'm doing. So,
well, we got the wheel counter out of the way, so that solves the how do you bracket race for a living question.
It's on the back now, yeah.
Put a fat chick in the trunk, wheel counter on the back wheel, bracket that's race it. For a living.
That's it.
Back to the carburetor business for just a second. Did you have anything in your head that you wanted to try that ended up not working that you thought, like, maybe the way you designed a metering block or something that was like, hey, you know, maybe I could think of this and this would be that much better?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You want to go see – I could bring you the bucket full of junk that I've got out there that doesn't work. Boosters, metering blocks, needles and seats. People would die if all the stuff they knew that I've tried. I mean, I've got some test dummies out there, and some things work and some things don't. And I mean, heck, this weekend, get to your race. I had a thought of something different to do, and I thought, well, Chad gets to try it out. Chad 6 in the Roadster. So I built a carburetor Friday morning, put it on there, and it seemed to be pretty good. It was actually about 600s faster than his other carburetor, so that was a really good one. So
then you have people like me texting you asking you which one's the air bleeds.
No, I get it's better to text, okay, Jake, instead of the other guys that go, hey, I changed these and it did this, and I'm like, that ran? Yeah, that's the wrong one. You didn't want to change that one. Really? Well, this thing's put 4 passes together. I'm like, okay, well, I guess that throws that theory out the window.
So you mentioned wanting to starting your own business. So how close are we to seeing you being a touring racket racer and running the West May carburetor empire?
I need to win $1 million first, I guess. I'm going to have to do a no split and $1 million win or something. I don't know.
That's another way to race for a living. Start with $1 million so you'll end up with zero.
Yeah, exactly. You want to know how to be a millionaire? Don't go racing. Is that how that works?
Something like that. Start with two.
I can't say that. I've been blessed in that department. I've paid for a lot of stuff off racing. So, but my day job, I have been there 19 years. It'll be this year in November. Very good paying job. Got a boss that's easy to work for. Lets me do my racing stuff. So that's the tough part. Got insurance for me and the wife and the baby. Got a house, motorhome, and trailer still paying for. So just need to win some more big races, and then I'll be able to do it. But that's a big step.
It is a big step. I'm in the same boat as you. Good paying job and having a lot of fun, but trying to build a business and, you know.
Yeah, and you're wearing yourself out.
Well, I keep hiring people. I don't know how I'm going to pay for them, but I'm going to keep hiring them. As Jake says, I have 75 riders, so.
I did hear him say that on one of the episodes.
You have 75 riders and 7 of them write.
Yeah.
On a good year.
I actually do need another writer. We do have 3 wonderful people that write for us, and we keep them pretty busy. So we're looking for someone else that loves to do what we do and report on these races and write about people like Wes May when he's, you know, tell the world about them. So,
hey, there's no Wes May like 2018 Wes May.
2015.
That's what I meant.
2015. Don't.
2015. It's close. Don't worry. It was only 2018.
Was Montgomery Million that long ago?
No, that was 2016.
Oh, whatever. Same thing.
Yeah. That was the 25 grander that I won. Yeah.
You looked at me and said, hey, go to my trailer, get my mob. I'm like, okay. She's standing there like her thumb out, waiting for somebody to pick her up.
Somebody pick me up.
Yeah. She was crying the whole way to the winner's circle, and you were crying. It was awesome.
That freaking track has beat me like a drum. And that's one of those things, when I got it past about third or fourth round, I'm like, this is mine. I cannot screw this up right now. Because there's a lot of tracks that have never done that to me. And I'm telling you what, Montgomery has taken a whole lot of money down there.
Muncie's not one of them.
Muncie is definitely not one of them.
All right, so Ryan, we talked about one of the buttons. So give us an insight onto how many buttons are on the steering wheel.
Oh, my gosh, I'd have to go back and check. I know there's probably people out there that know this. I think there's 8 or 9.
I've seen a Facebook post about it years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It blew up, so, I think, on DRR or something.
I think it was Shabs that took the picture and posted it.
Yeah.
Is that who it was? I'm sure it was.
I don't think you were near the car because you'd have probably swatted the phone out of his hand.
No, hell, it don't matter. There's a lot of people that walk up. I like to go step back and watch the people walk up and look at it and, like, just try to figure it out. Have no clue. So on the left side of the wheel, there is a top blue button, which that's the catch-up as – who is that that says that? Loose change? I love that term. Ketchup. That's the catch-up button, and it's a pretty healthy one. I mean, it's we're probably spraying 400 horse, so when you hit the button, you're going to make a difference.
You can hear it through the mufflers.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. She's putting the fire to it. We got the bump up over there. I got a trans brake override, so like if you flinch, let go, grab the button, you can reach over and grab it, and it breaks the trans brake wire. Center of the wheel that sticks out, that's your bump down button, which gets used absolutely the most. I know somebody said which button gets used the most. The bump down button is it. Wes does not crush the tree every time, so he's got to wear that thing out. The right side of the wheel, we've got a toggle switch, which is just used for backup because it's a pro tree brake. I don't like to hold the button to back up, so you flip the switch and back up and flip it back off when you take off. Then we got a micro switch and then 4 other switches. And even though people don't believe it, those are all trans brake buttons and they're all leading to the same spot. Depends on which day and how I'm feeling, where I want to grab on that steering wheel, I'm going to have a button there to push. So those are all trans brake buttons.
So is this a Richardson Boys wheel or what?
No, this is a Grant carbon fiber wheel that nobody makes anymore.
That's a lot of buttons.
There's 8 or 9 on there.
I have to hold my finger on the bump down button because I can't find it otherwise. I don't know what I'd do with that many buttons.
My bump up button is on the left side. This is I'll tell you a funny story about this one. This is the only time I've ever screwed up and hit the wrong button that I wasn't supposed to. So 4th round last year of the $525,000 race, I let go and out of habit, I hit the bump down and I went, oh shit, I didn't want to hit that. I could tell I absolutely crushed it. So I started fumbling around for the bump up and I couldn't find it. I pressed and I hit the steering wheel and then I started to look down and I just hit my hand out like in front of me on the left side of the wheel. I hit the nitrous button right before it started to leave and it went bang, bang, and then left. I was 0005 red. If I would not have touched the nitrous button, we wouldn't have picked up any because it picked up 360 feet by hitting that button for a split second.
God.
Oh, yeah. Talking about wanting to puke. Like, how do you pick the wrong time to hit it 4th round of $525,000 race? Yeah, Bueller came back and he was like, man, that thing really left then. Shot some fireballs out. And I'm like, yeah, I hit the nitrous button when it was on the 2-step.
He's just like, added 400 plus horse. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. It went bang, bang, and then left. I'm like, oh, my gosh, please be like bad red. Nope, 0005 red.
That makes it even worse, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wanted to puke because if I wouldn't have touched it, we wouldn't have been red.
I worked big money race years ago. One of my buddies broke his dragster, so he jumped in someone else's right there for a first round. Let's go, and tree's coming down. I see it purge like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, what the fuck is that? He thought it was a bump down.
It started purging.
Oh, yeah, that's it just started awesome. Purging and sit on two. So, what of it?
Yeah. Oh.
That's impressive.
That's the first thing you got to do when you get in a car. Hey, I need to know what all these buttons are and which one goes to what here. So I don't
there wasn't time.
There wasn't time. Jump in, let's roll with it.
Yeah. Like, he made like the last 3 pair.
Oh, gosh.
I did that in Jack Liggett's wagon at Kilcare 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, Jack Liggett's wagon, when it used to really wheel hard, was it was made for Jack Liggett.
Yeah.
And I was like 100 pounds, oh, I'd say 80 pounds lighter than him at the moment. And he's like all nervous, freaking out because my car lost oil pressure, pickup tube fell off, like fourth round. Didn't ask anybody, which, you know, karma. And not even Jack. His car was just hooked to the battery charger. And I just wiped his number off and wrote mine on there and drove to the staging lanes. He's like, what are you doing? He's walking back from the lanes. And I was like, listen, my car lost oil pressure. I was like, call Brad if you need to, but I'm just going to go up there. I'm going to throw some numbers in the box and, you know, we're going to get after it. So he's like, man, this thing really gets away from me, the burnout. You know how Jack does, starts pacing real bad, you know, and starts, you know, like he was behind me in the water box. And he's got a rear view mirror. I had to turn it up. Like I couldn't deal with that. You know, I could see him walking back and forth. But I let go and it leaves and I look down and see the 60 foot cone. And I'm like, oh boy, you know, Malibu wagon, you're way out in front of that thing. And I felt like I was on a 10 foot ladder. I didn't win, but at the same time, Jack's like, I've never seen that car leave like that.
But yeah, we were way out there. I didn't know when it was going to be sitting down.
Yeah. Something I wanted to ask you, I've got a few questions regarding, like, you know, you and your dad back in the day, but what's your favorite car you have driven other than any car that you and your dad have built, and Kaylee's Dragster, of course?
Oh my gosh.
Stan's Malibu, is it up there?
Yep, I would say that would be Stan's Malibu. I sat in it the first night and won.
I was there.
Yep.
I think that was the first night I ever started announcing, if I remember right.
Is it really?
Yeah, because I had one let go in the water box. And Scott was announcing. And I said, Scott, I'll hop up there and help you. And he's like, you ever announced? No. Sounds easy.
Let me try it.
Lo and behold, here we are.
Yep. Stan's car was definitely nice. Other than driving it, I'm trying to think of the other. I've driven Chuck Ridenour's Dragster, which, when was that? Oh, my gosh. That's probably been 4 years ago or something. He's like, you want to drive a dragster? I don't care. I mean, the fastest I had been has been, that was when I was 15, you know, 560s or something like that, in Dad's Dragster at Tri-State. And he's like, well, it runs 470s. I'm like, okay, let's go. Made the first pass, like 472, 146. Everybody's like, I can't believe you did that. But you make that many passes down a track. I mean, yeah, it was a lot faster, obviously, when it left and peeled you back in the seat. And when it shifted, it actually wasn't on cruise control like mine. But, I mean, it's like, it's anything. You know, you know that from being fast stuff and slow stuff. So
what is your favorite memory of going racing with your dad before you started? Because I hear stories about him at speeds at Brown County at you know, just hole-in-the-wall tracks. And, you know, he's been kicked out of here because they accused of cheating. Nobody could ever confirm it because he obviously found a combination that worked and it was way ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But what's your favorite good story about going to the racetrack with your dad? I know you guys, you know, he's kind of retired right now. He'll be back later on, I'm sure. But what's one you think about when you think back about being a kid?
Oh, my gosh. He's got so many, that's for sure. the one time, well, one funny one, we went to, what's the name of that track? Avila. So, you remember Avila? Never heard of Avila?
Nope.
It was up in northern Indiana. Small track. I mean, it was like a speeds is how I would say it. First time we'd ever been up there, he's racing. He gets down to, I don't know, 6-8 cars, something like that. He gets beat. We load up. Pull up there, and he's like, okay, I'm going in here to get my money. So I always sit in the back row of the Suburban. So I'm like, oh, man, I got to pee. So I get out of the truck, go in there and pee. I come walking back out, and I'm like, man, where the heck's he at? And I'm looking around. I look out at the interstate, and he's pulling out. I start screaming and running and yelling, and he looks over and locks it up, turns back around. Needless to say, yeah, he about left me at a villa. That was one of the funny ones. He's like, what the heck are you doing? I'm like, I had to pee. He's like, you got to tell somebody when you get out of the truck. He said, I thought you'd lay down and went to sleep. Nope, about left me at the racetrack.
I'm sure that was before cell phones too, so.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I'm talking, you know, small, so yeah. I was traumatized from that. He's won a bunch of stuff. I mean, you know, he was at one point in time at Speeds, which is right around the corner from Jake. I think he won like 8 or 9 weekends in a row, to the point that they actually called his work and told him that they were canceling the Friday night race because it had rained or something like that. So Dad's like, ah, dang, man, we don't get to go. then his buddy called him and he said, hey, man, we're leaving here in about 20 minutes. And he said, for where? He said, Speeds. And he goes, they're not racing. He goes, yeah, they are. They called and told me they're not racing. He said, yes, they are. He's like, what the hell? So load the stuff up, come pulling through the front gate. And they're like, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm here to race. We're going to have to take your car again. Okay. So they had his car torn apart all in the staging lanes. Can't find nothing. Okay. Of course, what's he do? He goes out there and wins again that night. And they said, you can't come back. He said, for what? And they said, all our guys aren't showing up. Look, they're sitting over there watching. They're not even racing. He's like, so you can't find me. I'm not cheating. I'm not doing anything illegal, but I'm winning too much. That's what it is. And they said, yeah, you're just taking all, you know, nobody's coming to the racetrack. So, you know, we can't have you come anymore, which, you know, that's a little non-sanctioned racetrack. So they can pretty much do whatever they want. But yeah.
So tech has changed over the years because I've made my first pass down a racetrack at Speeds because it's literally 5 miles from my house. There's only a mile of highway in between that 5 miles.
Yep.
It is literally 4 miles through, like, it makes Pine Valley look like the Motorplex, okay? Which for Ryan, yeah. You know, it is up hills and hollers and 90-degree blind corners, and you can't get a motorhome and a trailer through the bridge down there. You can't get a gooseneck trailer through the bridge down there. But I rolled up through there, and they were like, I was like, hey, I need to, you know, get teched in. They're like, you got brakes? Yeah. Got a helmet? Yeah. All right. Let's go. Oh, okay. Nobody, like, you know, it is what it is now, but, you know, and you go through that place and it's like it's old right now. It's wore out. It is what it is, but you feel like how it could have been whenever I remember it as a kid and it was crazy. I mean, it was packed. Friday night. They packed that freaking place. And I'm not sure if you recognize my gate guy, you probably don't at my event. Speed was his brother. His dad built the place. I don't know if you knew Jerry or not.
Wise. Oh yeah, I knew that was him.
Yep. And you know, and they used to live on top of the hill and they'd drive their car down from the house and come down and race and drive home. You know, that's kind of what we're from. And I think you and I need to get together because I've been thinking of something. We need a backwoods bracket tour. We need to go like Bunker Hill, Speeds, and Brown County 3 weekends and you know, we need to make something happen to do that.
That would be neat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you've not raced unless you've raced at Speeds in Brown County.
Yeah.
These guys need to come and see that one time.
Oh, man. And, you know, in Speeds, you can't take anything faster than 16 there, and that's pushing it, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never raced there. I have never raced a pass at Speeds.
Really?
The one five – remember they used to have the five-grander? So mine was broke. And Alan Neff called and said, hey, do you guys want to go? I've got two entries at Speeds paid or something. There was $100 for that Friday night deal. It was like the end of the year.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't remember when that's probably been.
They always ended the year early too. So it was in like early September.
Yeah. It was like 7 or 8 years ago, whatever it was. And he's like, I got two entries if you guys want to go. And I said, well, my car's, I got the engine out of it and it ain't going to be back in there or something. What was mine? No, I put the spare engine in. And I hadn't run it, and I thought, I'm not going down there for a $5,000 race because we had to still finish it up or something. I can't remember what it was. Dad's like, I'll go. You can just tow me down there. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we pull through the gate, and I have my Ford dually and 24-foot trailer, and it looked like we were John Force pulling through there. And I'm like, man, I don't remember this track being this small. You know, and my dad, heck, in the Opel, he went 570s down there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like every weekend.
That was before they extended another 100 foot.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how they did it. So, I mean, he gets the wagon out, makes his first practice run. He comes back. And of course, you got a lot of car to stop, too. And it went, whatever, 680-something. And he said, I don't remember this track being this small and this narrow and that short. And I'm like, well, you got a lot wider car, and it's a whole lot heavier. But he's like, I can't believe I race down here every week. But that race in the end, that $5,000 with 40-something cars did not end until 5 a.m. the next morning.
Yep.
Wow.
They don't start time runs till dark.
They don't start time runs till dark. You had one buyback until – what the hell was that? You had a buyback and a mulligan. Yeah. But you had to use it before the semis.
Okay.
So it was I'd never seen nothing like it. Well, I actually have. I mean, when we went to Brown County sometimes, you had buybacks until the money. So if you came back and there was five cars, then guess what? you could buy back because there was not four cars. They only paid to the semis. So, but yeah, it was 5 a.m. in the morning. Now, there was one car that went off the end of the track, flipped over, burst into flames. I had to wait for the town volunteer guys to get there to put it out. But, I mean, other than that, that was
– God.
You want to hear something hilarious about that night. So I'm standing up there watching, and this starter looks over at the guy getting ready to come out of the front of the staging lanes and goes like this. And I'm like, what the hell was that hand gesture?
Is that Rocky and Bullwinkle show or something?
I didn't know. So this guy pulls around back then. He goes down the track, next guy. And I'm like, I look at the guy beside me. I said, dude, what is this guy doing? He said, oh, he's telling you to watch for deer down there.
Yep.
What is it going to do any good to watch? Oh, yeah, there's the deer. I'm about to hit it. Like, we're running 100 mile an hour down through here. But, yeah,
and so I go back. Dark.
Yeah, I go back there and be like, Dad, if the starter looks at you and gives you this and that, that means watch for deer. And he said, what? Yeah, that's watch for deer. So don't hit anything down there when you're trying to, you know, take a guy through less than 100th or anything like that. So not a big deal.
I wish everyone could see the little expression there that he used to watch for deer. It's like
antlers, take a watch, everything's good.
Like stick your hands next to both.
That was an 8-pointer.
Yeah, that was an 8-pointer.
So was that night the guy, the black Nova from up north that flipped? Was that the one that went off the left side of the track and barrel rolled through the trees?
No, this was the night that Scott Boner, or I can't remember his first name, maybe it's Joe, had the red Mustang pro car.
Yeah.
Went off that, he lost his brakes, went off the end and flipped over and landed on the roof and it burst into flames. Well, he was out of it and back to the trailer and everybody was down there like, where's he at? He was already back to the trailer. I know why he was back to the trailer and everybody else can know why he's back to the trailer because he wanted to hurry up and make sure that everybody didn't see him, that he was down there. But I don't know how he didn't get killed. The whole roll cage came apart. Like the 6-point was stuck down next to the seat next to him.
So we're not going to make this a Speedy's Dragway podcast, but I was down there one night. It's the same night. There's this beautiful black 69 Nova from somewhere up north. It had a 565 in it, big tire car. I mean, it was immaculate. It was black on black and vinyl top. I mean, it was sweet. And the guy goes, and the guy that owns the car realized there wasn't super pro when he got down there. It was pro only. So he let his crew guy drive that runs bottom bulb or something. I mean, they destroy this car. The whole strut and the spindle end up on the other side of the right lane. This thing's over in the trees on the left side.
Oh, my God.
This guy's wrist, I mean, it looks like an S, shattered his wrist. And they said, hey, you know, you need to go to the hospital. They'll give you something for that. And he said, I ain't going to no hospital. He says, I got all I need in my pocket right here. Been taking them all day.
Oh, God.
And here's about 3 sheets to the wind, popping pain pills. And it's the same night this guy shows up with a Lincoln Felder Camaro. He says, well, it's rained everywhere else. I just saw this place was going to be open. He said, he had his car out, you know, getting it ready. He said, I walked up there to the water box and put my car back in the trailer.
It's a sketchy place, that's for sure.
And, you know, I obviously learned to race there and when I had my dirt track engine in my wagon. But, you know, traction is always an issue there. Timing system always worked. It was an old Crondex system.
Yep,
It always worked. But I had dropped off my front wheel off the racetrack because it was so narrow. It spun one time. I just dropped the wheel off the racetrack, and it's been poured up so many times it busted the rocker because the rocker got to the concrete before the wheel got to the dirt. That gives you an idea how old it is. And I used to hear stories of, you know, they used to have gravel shutdowns and like.
Oh, yeah. Well, they used to keep the gates open down there so you would shut down and go through there was a barn at the end. Yeah. I'm not joking. When the fast guys were there, they'd leave the gate open, and numerous guys said you just slow down enough to just so you didn't crash. And then ease off the brakes and then just go out through the pasture area, the grass, and go through the barn and then turn back around and come back.
Yep.
You guys are crazy. And if you told people now they got to slow down in the grass.
But my dad's shop had always, you know, it was right there, the main street and the highway in town. And they always put advertisement signs out there. There was forever there was a sign in the storage closet that was Speed's Dragway, Nitro Funny Cars this weekend. Like,
oh, my God.
Pepsi-Cola sign. And I said, Dad, I was like, is that a real thing? He's like, oh, yeah, they had jet cars there too. And
no.
He said, you couldn't tell if the house was on fire or Armanoff was in there when that thing marked the ground. And, you know, and I gave that sign to Jerry because he's got a memorabilia wall and stuff in his new shop. But anyway, back in the good old days, you know, that's kind of what we grew up on up in Indiana. You know, that's what we had. You know, Raceway Park, you didn't get to go bracket race there every weekend. It was a three or four times a year thing before the U.S. Open came along. And, I mean, it was –
Yeah, and tech was so hard most of the time. You go out there, and if you have a lug nut that's a half inch too short, the guy's wanting to bounce you on it or
– Still is.
I mean, yeah. Is it really?
Oh, yeah, I got thrown out for having my window net mounted on the outside of my funny car roll cage in my 6.0 door car.
Of course.
Yeah. There we go. There's number – let's see. This is episode 28. That's the 20th time we've heard that one.
Hey, I got a fake, which I don't – I know Jake knows it and probably Ryan, but I got a fake parachute mount on the back. So it looks like it's a parachute, but it's really not. It's an air compressor line for – it's I got a switch in there. You turn it on, air compressor, air the tires up. But it looks like it's a parachute mount. So I go through tech, and that guy's like, where's your parachute cable? I'm like, that's not a real parachute. It's just got an airline inside of it, so if I need air for my tires, I can air them up. He said, I'm going to have you take that off. It's got to be a working parachute. I said, I run 670s. I don't need a parachute. And he said, yeah, but if we get to you down there and you've crashed, you know, we need to know if that parachute's came out. And I said, if I've already crashed, the chute didn't work anyways. It didn't matter. He's like, well, I guess I can let you leave it on there, but it's supposed to work if it's on there. I'm like, this guy really going to make me take this parachute pack off with an air hose inside of it?
What is the closest you came to crashing? Because you used to set it down pretty hard. I think we got away from those days, but you still do if you need to.
I can't remember any of them stand out. There's been a couple of them. It's been pretty hairy. I didn't mean to do it. Let's put it that way, but it definitely, I got too aggressive.
Isn't that how it always happens, Wes? None of us mean to do it.
Man, it's like you get down there and you got in your thought and you're like, okay, you just got to set it down a little easy and it's not a big deal. And then next thing you know, you're trying to shove the brake pedal through the floorboard. So it used to do it a bunch. I used to have the little Moroso 550 front tires on it. And I swear I went through 10 sets of those in 1 year because you go down there and set the brakes and they were just narrow and it would just smoke them instantly and then it'd flat spot the rest of the time. So yeah,
those were some of the crappiest tires they ever made, was those little, not to knock on Moroso because they do make great products, but man, those little tires,
there was such a small contact patch on that tire that it's not a
good thing. They looked like they were dry rotted even when they were brand new. Like, yep. I remember being on my dad's Vega back in the early 80s actually, and he ran those things and all his friends ran them, and they just always looked like they were dry rotted, about to just split, just sitting there.
Yep.
But they were the tire to be back in the day.
I think Gary May's best set down was his last one.
Let's see. Now, when he was at Montgomery or when he was at me?
When he was against you.
Yeah. Yeah, when you spin it out, I say that was pretty good.
Yeah. At Muncie, even. That place is wide.
Yeah. Probably the only thing that saved that whole deal is because it was tied down in the front end. It just made it like a skateboard, and it went skidding through there. So,
yeah.
So, Wes, let's talk about the bracket race promotion that you did this just recently. What, a couple weeks ago?
Yep.
So, let's talk about it. What got you into that?
It's something I've always wanted to do. And when you have in-laws that own a racetrack and you have a lot of driving time, we were driving actually to Disney World for my daughter's second birthday, me and the father-in-law were putting stuff back and forth, and he's like, let's do it. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I spitballed some numbers and put some stuff together and sent it to him, and I'm like, I think, you know, here's different scenarios, you know, what do you think? And he said, I think this one, let's do it. And so actually it was right before we got on a cruise, he said, we need to get it posted. That was last week of January, I think. And I mean, after we posted the date, we got back, it took 16 days to sell it out for 300 entries, which I was very happy with. The race was absolute success. We had perfect weather. We packed a whole bunch of people in there, and we never stopped running race cars. I mean, Thursday through Sunday, it was something, definitely a dream come true. It was something I've always wanted to do, and you watch a bunch of races, and you see a bunch of stuff, and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. But, you know, for the most part, we ran a perfect race. I knew we would, and it also helps, you know, they've got a great running racetrack. You've got to have the facility and them already knowing what to do, so that's a huge part of it.
So what was the most gratifying part of that?
Handing those $10,000 checks out and trophies and stuff out to the guys. Definitely was. That was pretty cool.
So is this a new thing? You're going to have 4 or 5 events next year? You're ready to do it again?
Not 4 or 5. Heck no. At least one. That's all I'm saying.
Just one.
I don't know how guys do 4 or 5. There ain't no. Well, I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't be working my day job if you're doing 4 or 5, because Jake knows there is a lot of work behind the scenes. I mean, especially for sponsor stuff. You know, I didn't feel like I had that much. And then come race weekend, it's like you start putting it all together and you're like, man, we got quite a bit, you know, especially for our first race. So there was a lot of phone calls. Of course, I'm used to that. I just added more phone calls to it. But when you add in 300 people and we did a pre-entry, that's a lot of people to take care of. And then we had COVID hit and weather. At that time, it was actually still COVID, which weather wouldn't have been good for us our original date. It pushed it back. So then you got to call. I wanted to call and contact all 300 entries instead of posting it on Facebook and everybody be like, oh yeah, I found out by Facebook. I wanted to call them. I think my wife wanted to kill me at that, because me and her went through and called or text or messaged or whatever, 300 entries in there. But we got it done. We got everybody notified. They knew. And I think we only had like 3 or 4 that backed out, 3 or 4 entries that backed out. So I was feeling good until about 2 weeks area of the race. And then they were dropping like flies. Well, we had, I think it was close to 50 alternates or something at one point. And I mean, we went through all of them and we still probably had 5 or 6 on no box. No, I'm sorry. No box. I didn't have any box. I still had like 5 or 6 guys. And I'm sure we had a couple there that would probably double if you would have called up and said, you know, we got more, because we did have a couple people not show up. Like I had to call them and say, hey, where you at? Well, I broke. Hey, did you not think to even call me to get your pre-entry back or what's going on? They're like, no. Or one guy said, I broke my car. I just didn't think to, you know, say anything. He literally got in like the week before and then didn't show up. So I didn't get a pre-entry from him. So it was like, what the heck? Of course, we announced, and within, I don't even think it was 5 minutes, there was somebody at the front gate to pay for him. So we had a full field every day. So, but it turned out better than I ever hoped. I mean, we had perfect weather for it. Other than it was blazing hot for a fat guy at the front of the staging lanes that was newly seal coated. I felt like I was barbecuing up there. But other than that, I mean, you know.
What was the most surprising thing you learned about promoting races?
All the crazy questions you get. I knew that they got a bunch.
Hey, just be glad you get them, okay?
Yeah, because my in-laws, you know, obviously have Muncie Dragway. So I hear all that stuff. And you know, you hear all the backstories. The normal local stuff, they get way, way more crazier than I got. But there was a bunch of, I mean, it honestly wasn't too bad, but there was some of them that you kind of looked at them like, are you really asking me that question, or is this a game show and they're getting ready to pop out somewhere and say something, you know, funny?
It's one of those things, like everybody's like, man, this thing's going great. And you're like, shut up. It's Saturday. Like, we're not done yet. But you got to say, you know, thank you. Thanks for coming. You know, we appreciate it. But it's like, everybody was like Saturday, like, man, we're having a great time. I'm like, man. And Sunday, I'm like, man, where's all these people that told me they had a great time now? Where are they at? I need them right now.
No,
I need you back.
No, we had pretty big event at our track early in the year, and I'm working, and everyone's like, man, this thing feels like going so smooth. I'm like, really? Because it feels like a fucking dumpster fire. Like, it just like feels like that's on fire and that's on fire and that's on fire. But you can't put all the fires out at once.
No, you got a Dixie cut and you're trying to put this one out over here and just stay away from that one over there, because you know it's just going to burn you alive.
Oh yeah. Everyone's like, we had a great time. It felt so smooth. I'm like, well, I didn't sleep for fucking 3 days. So you tell me how fucking smooth it went.
It actually was pretty smooth, Ryan.
Shut the fuck up, Gary.
It was smooth. What y'all don't understand is the racers don't see everything that y'all see.
No.
I think that's the stuff that stresses me out. Because, you know, I'm OCD bad. I want stuff to run smooth and perfect. And it's like when it doesn't, it's like, okay, it's okay. Everything's going to be good. You know, you're seeing everything. you're knowing everything that's going on. You're like, no, we don't want that to go that way. We want this to go this way. And nobody else sees it, but you're up there just ripping your hair out.
Really?
What hair?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if anything that, you know, what it taught me at first was like, you know, the importance of having people around you that want the same thing as you, because you go to the racetrack and you're like, I wish they'd do this, wish they'd do that. And you're like, once you do it, you're like, I get it. You know, now I understand why that wasn't a big deal to them, but it might be to me. But also I think on our end of it, like we see that, you know, we see that as racers, like, hey, I'm going to do this little thing that, you know, could turn out to be a big thing for everybody here and they appreciate it and stuff like that. And I think that's probably what makes it work for all of us and what makes it just that much better.
You see the stuff that's not right at other tracks. And you also got to remember, you know, I feel like people look at, like, I don't know, like a staging lane guy. Oh, man, this guy's an idiot. He's doing this wrong. He's doing that wrong. Half of them don't really understand what is going on. They just see all these race cars and it's cool. And they don't understand, like, the consequence that, okay, these guys are supposed to run, or this guy's supposed to get lane choice, not this guy, because this guy's going to get mad. Or, you know, they don't realize a bunch of that. And not to mention, you stand out there for about 12 to 14 hours, and by the time you get to the end of it, they're like, man, this guy really don't care anymore. No, it's because that guy is worn out.
Mine doesn't bring sunscreen each year so far. He's already darker. He's darker complexion. I mean, he's not any kind of different race or anything. He's just a tan person. And every Sunday he leaves looking like a freaking tomato. And I'm like, man, one of these times you're going to learn. Like, I don't know what else to tell you.
I burned up Friday. Friday, I didn't put any – I thought, I'm going to get my burn on. You know, I'm up here and about – I don't know. It was probably about – and we started at 10 a.m., and I was at the front of the lanes the whole day, all the way to the last pair went down in the shootout. And, I mean, it was probably – I don't know. Probably 2, 1, 2, Chad 6 come up, and he goes, dude, you need to get a hat on, like, now. I'm like, no, man, I'm good. I'm getting my burn on. I'm going to be – he's like, no, you've been out here all day. When you're at the racetrack, you're not out in the sun – the whole entire time you're like in the car and in the trailer. And he's like, you need to get a hat on. I put it on. Yeah, it was already too late. I was burned up. Chest was burned up where it hadn't had sunlight, and lips were swelling up after the end of the weekend. So
yeah, you don't want to get burned on the first day. You want to save that for the last day.
I was charred. I was a charred mess. I was lathering up and sunscreen afterwards. It didn't matter. I was done a red tomato.
Oh yeah. There's no getting it back.
No, there isn't. Then I started having allergy sneezing attacks up there, and you got cars pulling out with alcohol, and it looked like I was crying. So he's like, man, what's wrong with you? It's like, oh, I got allergies. I got to stay up here at the front of the lanes, trying to stay away from them.
All right, so we've got the race stuff down. So what's the race win that means the most to you? You've won a bunch. I've been watching you for a good 10 years, I guess. And it seems like every time you look up, there was West May and Winter Circle somewhere at a big race. So
I'm going to win one of these millions. I'm already telling you guys. Hopefully I'm not 1,000 years old by the time I do it.
Saturday's mine in her dragster.
I didn't even get it out of the trailer. It was too hot. Imagine me buttering myself up to get in there. I mean, I can drive it, but I mean, if you've ever seen 50 pounds of crap in a 5-pound bag, that's me in that dragster. And I'm like, when I got up Saturday morning, I'm like, yeah, it's a negative. I'm doubling in the Regal, and it is what it is. I got beat to death. I thought I was going to do it on Sunday, but I screwed that one up. So, but no, my best, my biggest win's been the 50 grand, the ultimate 64 50 grander. That was at Edgewater. I don't even know how that whole deal happened. That was with not an FTI converter in the car. It was a spragless one of another company's we were trying. The guy was great to deal with, but it just didn't work for our little combination. I mean, my stuff swung like 500s that day. It was horrid. I was literally driving the wheels off of it. The timing system had messed up the day before because all the rain and the winds that come through there. I mean, that's been my biggest win. My first 10 grander was definitely up on my list. That was when the Regal was a 9-inch slick green and just looked like something you'd drive down to the grocery store. Beat old man Kaufman in the final down there, Bowling Green. That was my first 10 grander. So great. That one means not, no, the dad.
Oh, okay. Greg's old now, but I don't know about then.
No, I'm trying to think of his dad's name. Did you remember when his dad used to race?
Yeah, he had a Beretta or something, didn't he?
Yeah, he was in the dragster at that time, but it was his dad in the finals.
Yeah.
What's one round loss that sticks out the most?
Oh, God, I've said this one before. So at Mid-Michigan, I don't know, I did that again this year. So I at the original, you know, 50 grander up there, whatever it is, this has been 4 years ago. Let's see, that'd been 5 years ago because it was 2015. I won the Thursday night 10 grander in my car, and I was running my car. That's when they wouldn't let you double in your car. So I was running my car and my dad's car, and then he was running his. I won the 10 grander on Thursday, and I'm in the finals on Saturday of the 50 to Ed Nemec. And I go down there, and I'm holding like eighth out or something, and I rip once, rip twice, and I'm like, he's done. This is mine. I go to rip again, and my foot slides off the gas pedal, and I go to the floorboard and literally go through the finish line, you know, out of it, one thousandths behind. Well, it was one thou and five ten thou because I said it was $1,000 per ten thousandths that cost me. Because it was 20 to runner up, 35 to win. I lost by 15 ten thou. So yeah, that was been one of my biggest ones. This year I was at three cars and just flat forgot to let go. I was 26, he was 22 or something.
Ugh.
Was trying to be to the 50 again, but I messed that deal up after laying down five total or whatever it was in the semis.
Wow.
That sucks. That stings.
I've never hit two of the big ones back to back, right back to back. Had two good shots at it. I just screwed them both up.
If you had to get rid of the Regal, what would you build?
Oh my gosh. I just told my wife last night about this because somebody came up and said, how much would you sell the Regal for? I gave him the number and he's like, okay. It'll never go for that. But
what's the number?
What is the number?
Yeah.
I think 60 would probably take it.
That's it?
Yeah. Oof. She says I can't sell it for that, but I think 60 would probably, it could go down the road. I could build another one just like it.
Maybe rolling.
Then they pay 60 and get it back and go, oh my gosh, this is all I get for $60,000. It's a 670 door car.
Hey, if they want to believe it's the car, they can believe it's the car.
Yep, that's right. My favorite body style is the 66 Chevy 2 two-door post cars. I don't know.
Like Dukes' car?
No, his is I think that's called a coupe or something. I'm not sure. His lays farther down. I'm talking about the one with the post. So, like Paul Russell's body style.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Got the post right for, you know, that's got the frame around the door or whatever. They look shorter. The roofs are actually stood up a little bit taller on that. I don't know if it's called a post or a sedan. I don't think it's a sedan.
I think it's a post car, Josh Green's got.
Yes, exactly. That body style.
The nicest two-door post car in the country, Josh Green's. Yeah.
Yep. W.G. Miller used to have a good looking one, too. Yeah. I don't know where it ended up.
I don't know, but it sold for some coin.
Yeah. Yeah, he got a lot out of it.
That thing is
so amazing. If I were to build a dream one and be able to do it my way and stuff, yeah, I would like to do one of those cars.
Would it be slammed?
Not as low as probably the Regal is, because, you know, those cars do good wheelies. So I'd have to set it up for that. So
do you dream of running a bracket funny car?
Absolutely. And I'm not talking a new style. When I am talking like a 70s, like a Monza or something crazy like that. Oh, yeah.
So you want to roll up in like the Blue Max?
Oh, absolutely.
Bud, I've already got the hat for you.
Oh, that is it. I will wear the hat. I will wear it.
Ryan's got the Blue Max hat sitting right on top of his computer.
Yes. That is definitely a dream. Todd Clark keeps on talking all this mad smack that he's going to buy one. And I said, all you got to do is buy it. I'm going to drive it. I just hope that it's one that, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, I don't feel like you really ever seen a lot of fat people. So I don't think they made those cars real wide. And I'm not sure I can get in one. So, but yeah. And it needs to run like 670s too. I mean, well, Todd came up with the name. I'm not going to lie. Todd Clark did. Something about never looking back or don't look back or something like that on the side of it.
Yeah, you definitely need some mirrors to look back in one of those.
I think it's Quentin Jones Sr. runs one on the East Coast. I know you've seen pictures of it. It's like a 2000s Firebird body. And it goes 470, and he absolutely wrecks it. I mean, he is nasty in it.
Because who wants to get beat by a funny car in bracket racing? I mean, really.
Not a damn
Chat Dragon would have Chat Dragon would have nothing on the funny car. You guys got to admit it. And if it went like 680s or something, oh, yeah, sign me up.
Hey,
make this thing like high gear.
You bite your damn tongue about Chat Dragon, you hear me?
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
On a two barrel, goes right down through there, clicks them off dead on. It's great.
Jeez.
But if you guys looked over, how straight-faced could you be if you look over and you got a guy in a funny, old-style funny car beside you?
Are you going to have the fireproof mask thing with the goggles?
Oh, and absolutely, the big... yes. Yeah, you got to have the whole part.
Over there, sounded like a John Deere hit and miss. The zoomies on it.
Yeah.
Hey, you can put those little tractor things on it so they flap on the
zoomies. Oh, make it even better, yeah. Just where the whole four of them flap together, that would be awesome.
Remember the old dragsters with the upswept headers, and they had the little flaps, the little tractor flaps on the collectors, and they'd sit there and
game? Everybody used to have those.
Hey, be careful. Tara still has those.
Everybody used to have those.
Yeah.
Well, Jake, you know Chuck, right? Right.
Oh,
there?
Yeah.
So he was at Muncie, raced the race Saturday, and then they said Sunday he broke or something and somebody took his entries. And he said he felt like an idiot when he checked Monday. It had rocks down in the headers and they were bouncing around inside there and he thought something was broke. I was like, it's lucky it didn't suck one in a valve.
Yeah.
That's why you have flaps on upswept headers that you got from the 80s, Chuck.
Yeah. Luckily it didn't kick back.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he thought he had broke something. It was just big rocks in the headers. That's all it was because it had a set of upswept on it. He was pulling down through the rocks getting back to the trailer.
He must race at the Motorplex.
No.
Muncie, if you got to take the back road, which we had it packed. We had it all the way down to the creek.
I've heard about the dust on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We need to have a water truck next year. So, and on the other side of the track, I don't know, there was probably 10 over there or something. Yeah. But yeah, they had to. There was a lot of dust. Troy Ridenour, he's probably still washing his stuff.
Now we've been able to race for the last 4 months or so. We've all forgotten about those memes that were going around in
March
and April.
I would take anything, and I'd park on a gravel road to race at a racetrack. Yeah, now they're all complaining. Oh, I got to clean my car up. Oh, wait a minute.
I'm one of those, so I've kind of catch myself sometimes doing the same thing. I'm like, shut up! You're getting to go race. Shut up.
Yep.
We've talked about West May circa 15, 16. West May of 19 and 20 is a dad. What has that done to your – I know it's changed your whole outlook on drag racing and traveling to go to races, because very rarely do you go somewhere that Scott or Don or Kaylee or Hallie can go to, because that's where you want to be. You'd rather go home at Muncie and you'd rather go race for $1,000 and spend time with them.
Absolutely. Definitely changed the outlook on it, Like in 2015, obviously that was the year I did the most traveling because, I started doing good and thought, well, you're taking that money and you're going to go down the road. I put 32,000 miles on a motorhome in 1 year.
Oh.
And I have had a regular day job. So, I mean, that was leaving Thursday night and rolling, racing, coming back. And, I mean, there was many, many, many mornings that I got out of the motorhome, went in my house, took a shower, got dressed, walked straight back out the door, got in my car, and went and did sales calls, and then came back home and passed out.
Wow.
I mean, definitely changed it. I wouldn't change the world for my little girl. That's been one of the things I've wanted forever, having a kid. There ain't nothing like it. I hated it this weekend that they weren't there, but Kaylee went out with friends and had a good time and relaxed, and Hal went with Ma and Pa, and Dad went and raced.
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
that was something that I didn't think I'd see out of West Mix. I think I saw you cry at one point about it. And I'm like, I knew at that point, like, we wouldn't see West May at just any 10 grand or North Carolina anymore. Like, we'll see West May maybe in a 10 tug, maybe at a race in Ohio, Michigan here and there. But like, I think it's awesome because, Easton usually goes with me everywhere I go, but Kaylee has a job, Scott and Dawn have a job. And here we are now.
Yep. It's I definitely love the little girl to death, that's for sure. Poor Kaylee. Anybody that's been around her. Huh?
Poor Kaylee, though. I mean.
Well, yeah, am I worse or Hallie worse? I'm not sure.
I think she'd probably pay you to travel at some point.
That's probably why she was telling me to go this week. Yeah. You need to go. You need to get out of the house. You need to go.
Like I was telling you, sometimes it only gets more special and it goes quick. My little girl is about to be 17 and it is just – unreal how quick that goes.
Don't even be talking about that.
I mean,
she'll be 12 in December, or 12, 3 in December, and I can't believe it's as fast as it is already. We love her to death.
That is awesome.
She comes out in the garage and works with me on the carburetor stuff, so that makes it good too during the week.
So is that why people need to call you for the carbs? Just your daughter's helping you build them now? That's the secret ingredient.
I wish you need to start taking the phone calls and the text messages all the time. That would help me out some. That way I could get some stuff done.
Yeah, last night I was working in the office, and my wife comes rolling in, and it's 10 or so, and she goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just talking to people right now. Like, I can't stop. Like, there's so many different conversations going. I'm like, I'm trying to get to some actual work, but there's people need to go to bed so I can get a little bit of work done."
Yep.
It's amazing.
Now, what I have a problem with is I have all my Texas buddies that want to text continuously, and then I look down, and they're like, "Oh, shoot, that's right. You guys are hour ahead of us. Yeah, it's already midnight here. What are you still texting me? I'm still at the bench. I'm still working. Go to sleep. What are you doing?"
Yep, that's true. So what is the secret agreement? Secret ingredient? Why do people need to call you to buy a carburetor?
Not the
secret ingredient. That's the wrong word. Why should they call you?
Because we're always dead on.
That's all right. There we go. That's what I was looking for. I just screwed it up.
I finally got a fucking t-shirt.
Hey, I've only had them since our race, okay?
I've only sold nine carburetors for you, Jesus.
You've sold more than nine. Now, backstory on Jake, he was one of the first – well, he was the first one that got – I mean, when it started taking off, I mean, he sent a guy to me, and one of your best buddies, you know, Anthony. I mean, this guy met me and handed me three carburetors. I'm like, man. I mean, that was the first time. He's like, "Here's the cat, you know, here's three carburetors," and then I meet him back up, and he's like, "Okay, here's the cash." I'm like, gosh, dang, this guy just had me do three carburetors for him. But, yeah, I mean.
And he rotated them out like it was nobody's business. He said, "Oh, this one don't like this racetrack. We're putting this other Dominator on that's built the exact same way," you know. Oh, yeah.
What's the difference in this one? This one's a little bit different on that way. Okay, I'm going to try it. Yep. Then he'd call.
Maybe we found Jake's calling. Maybe he's a salesperson.
He has sold a bunch for me. I'm not going to lie on that one.
He needs to sell some advertising for the Drag Champ show. I can tell you that.
I keep selling mine off my car, and nobody takes me seriously. Like, I text Wes like every 3 weeks, "Hey, what's it cost to replace mine?" And he told me the same price. I should just scroll up, really, but nobody wants to take me up on it. They don't believe me. I think they know I've had it apart, though.
Well, I was going to say, they probably thought, "Well, wait a minute. Is this a Jake Hodge one?" But they should stop and think about it, that – If it's lasted with you, it'll last with anybody.
That's what Dysinger says. If I can't break a diamond, nobody can. Oh man.
All right, Wes, you mentioned you were an avid listener of the podcast. So what's your favorite episode?
Oh, you guys already know which one that is. I mean, anybody that's listened to any of them with Rodney Fincham when they grease the guy's door handles. I swear I have been crying over that one I don't know how many times. When he flips the car, when he comes back into the lot, Joey jumps out of the car. I mean, all of them are good, though. I mean, I thought all of them were funny. I mean, a couple of them were dry, but that was just the people. Yeah. Foley. Him and Foley, just some of the stuff definitely make it.
Well, the coolest thing about Fincham was he was wired to the positive post when he came on. He delayed us an hour because he had a 5 quarts of oil on the ground.
Yep.
There was only one left in the filter because all the other 5 were in the ground, on the ground.
Yep.
He was wired up and just didn't stop. I mean, Jake had to tell him to shut the hell up for like 2 seconds to introduce him so we could keep going. And none of us wanted him to even stop him. It was just like, turn it on and let it go.
I couldn't get this in on that show, but Wes knows like Mark Wiles and Brent Jones and all them from the Lions area. You know, my first bracket finals I ever went to, my dad had this old gas motor home. I mean, we're talking no slides, still blue shag carpet in it. Like, and that's what I took. Well, I went somewhere, I forget, one night and came back. And they're all out there on a campfire, and they greased the door handle of my motorhome and the generator and the trailer door. And every time I'd wipe it off, I'd open my next door handle and be greasing my hands again. So then I finally had enough. I said, "Fuck it, I'm starting the generator, going here, going to bed." So I pull the generator handle, and it comes off my hand because it's all greased up, you know. So I'm like, I'm fucking over it. And they're all dying laughing. And I am fuming mad at this point. It's 2:00 in the morning. I go in the motorhome, slam the door, you know, and get it all wiped off. My hands washed off. I'm like, I'm going to go out and find out who did it. I go grab the door handle to get out. They did the inside handle too.
Yes.
And I was like, "Who did it?" And they were like, looking everywhere else. Oh, it was him. It was him. Turned, come to find out it was Mark Wiles. And, you know, Mark had a good time there for a while. He had that old Ford-ish Chevy truck called, they had Doom on the side of it.
Yep.
And man, it was, those were the good old days. And that was a, I felt every inch of pain Joey had, but I just didn't flip a car.
Well, I pumped about 7 quarts of oil on the starting line at no problem at a points race, 2 runs in a row before we figured out that the oil filter adapter had a crack in it, and it would only burnout when it got up to the RPM, it would leak. But you could run it in the trailer, run it at the trailer, do whatever, never leak. So after we, you know, oiled down the track twice and never got down it, we finally figured out what was happening. And, but yeah, the oil filter adapter had a crack in it, and it would just separate under. I mean, it was just a mess. So Division 4 was not happy that day at that.
No, track. I bet.
Not at all. All right, Wes. Well, man, we got to let you go, but this has been fun. We've enjoyed it. Appreciate you coming on and taking time with us and telling us some stories. And, it's been a lot of fun.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
Before we let you go, I usually ask people what their headstone's going to say, but yours is going to say always dead on, and there's going to be some pun in there. You're a guy that can hop from race car to race car, and you've had success in really whatever you wanted to drive. Other than seat time, what do you need to do to get better? Because there's a lot of people out there that don't understand it and really don't understand that there's, you know, more than just two ends of a racetrack. But what would you say was most instrumental other than seat time?
Having a good car, honestly. I mean, your car, you know, numerous people you can say, well, you know, that guy only wins because his car is dead on all the time or whatever. Well, that car is not dead on because it sits in the garage all the time, or he doesn't go out and make test runs. You know, there's a lot of guys that, oh, I don't want to make a practice run, or I don't want to go to the local track and run for $1,000 or some of the test and tunes. That's where you get the information to make sure your car is good enough to be dialed 3 soft, dead on, 1 hard, 2 hard, whatever it is. By the time you get to that 10 grander or 50 grander, that you have multiple angles for them to see, you have to be able to have a good vehicle. I mean, there's very, very few in the sport that they can take a piece of junk and go out there and win. I mean, even the cars that are rough that win, they're pretty darn good cars. I mean, you can only have so much luck. You got to have luck in racing, but skill, I feel, will bring luck to your side. So you got to understand your car. You got to know what it does. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, I tell customers. I mean, it's not only just carburetors that I help tune. They send me the tickets, and it's like, wait a minute, you know, it's off in 60 foot, or it's off in 330. Have you messed with the shift? What do you mean? No, I mean, they said it made power to 7,200. Well, have you ever tried backing it down to like 7? No, or 68. You know, let's back the shift up a little bit. What's your fuel pressure? What's it doing here? You know, at this track, what does it do? That's all the stuff that, you know, ends up making something good to where your, I guess, your gun is going to have the best bullet in it to be able to be, to win. So,
you mean just changing the carburetor is not going to make it a perfect race car?
Hey, I've had a bunch of them, and I am not, I had a phone call one time. I know you guys don't want to take much longer. I had a phone call one time, and this country boy called me, and he's like, I need to talk to you about carburetor. And I said, okay, hopefully I can help you. And he said, well, I'm telling you, I've watched these boys around here, and they're getting these May race carburetors. And he said, they can't find theirself out of a wet paper sack. And he goes, they put them on and they win. And he said, they suck. He said, all they did was put that carburetor on and they won that next week. He said, so I've been beating them. I think that I need one of them carburetors too, and I can do it. And that boy bought one, and I'm telling you, he wore them out for a while. So, I mean, you know, sometimes it takes a carburetor, but it is not all the carburetor.
That's what I was getting more to is, yeah, some people.
Everybody knows, most people know, but everybody blames the carburetor first, or the converter first, or the engine first, or, you know, it takes so much to be good. I mean, it really does. I mean, it's everything. I mean, this year I changed a set of headers just because this set was cheap and they were powder coated and they were a little bit smaller, but I thought, my motor don't make no power. It don't really matter. I put them on and it was not good. It did not like them. I changed stuff. It was not good to my standards. Take those back off, put the other ones back on that are black and a little rusty, and it's back. I mean, and that was just a quarter of an inch difference in a header tube that shouldn't have even needed it, but it did. So that stuff makes a big difference.
Yeah, if you have a bad car, changing one part isn't going to do it. You got to find the tune up, and that takes work and effort. And so, all right, anything else, guys?
You're my hero, buddy.
Ryan's been way too quiet.
He just doesn't fucking like you.
I think that's what it is.
I don't even know if he dropped an F-bomb today.
Fuck.
There we go. Yeah. We got one before you left, Lee.
And in all reality, I don't, you know, we don't really kiss your ass much in Indiana because you beat all of us, but you really set the example for all of us. And, you know, it shows whenever you go to, like, the Dream Team race and, you know, this All-State Challenge, and you guys kind of carry the flag for us. But I think that seeing you go out and do it made a lot of us think we can go out and do it. And that's definitely something to be proud of. And it's good to know you. It really is.
There's a whole lot of May race carbs out there. You see them more and more. That's pretty cool, especially when you see them win, because that's something I do take pride in. And I mean, Jake knows this. I mean, I tell all my guys when they get them, I'll be waiting for a winner's circle picture, because that's what I want. I want to see them succeed when they get their carburetor and put it on. You know, there's some of them that haven't, and there's some of them that put them on and have won a ton, but I like to see them succeed in that stuff. So,
well, I might have to call you, because it's been about 20 years since I've turned on the final wind light, so I'm ready to turn one on.
There we go.
I mean, there's a lot of good. I almost want to fucking race with one. So,
hey, we're gonna try to this weekend, buddy. We got a care package from Wes today, and it'll be good. The cleaning lady was cleaning my motorhome because I had my fridge die and I couldn't do it, and she said, UPS just sent a package in the door of the motorhome. So Ryan and I are going to give it our best shot for $100,000 off the bottom. So
that's the true test. If we win $100,000 off the bottom, I'll buy fucking 10.
Look at the sales pitch on that one, right?
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, take care.
See you, Wes. Tell Kaylee and Hallie we said hey.
We'll do it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Yep. See you later.
What a fucking dude.
He's done it, man. He's lived it. He's done it. Still doing it, and it's like, it's kind of one of those things where, like, everybody's, well, where's Wes May been? Well, Wes is now a dad and all that, and that's kind of why we brought that up and talked about it, because, you know, he was everywhere a few years ago now, I guess. But, you know, it's one of those things that life happens and you see it evolve, and, you know, she grows up and you know, goes to college and stuff, then he'll be back and hitting the trail like he once was.
And it's fun talking to him for sure. I love the stories about his dad getting kicked out of the racetrack because he was winning too much.
And, you know, that's all you heard. You know, when I first started drag racing and he was around Indiana, he was winning all the time. He was winning the Indy every Sunday. And you'd see him in winner's circle pictures at Muncie and stuff like that. And I'm pretty sure he quit going to Terre Haute just for that reason. But everybody's like, oh, he's cheating. You can hear it. Well, no, the car's got mufflers on it, and it just sounds funny going on the racetrack. It's nothing that it's not popping or hitting a rev limiter or nothing. But you always, like, you hear him talk about it, and people are like, oh, he's cheating. He just gets a grin on his face, like, because he knows, like, his stuff's just that good. So why not build carburetors?
There you go.
I was going to ask him if he didn't build carburetors, what part of the car he would build instead. I didn't get into that, but he'll listen to that, and he'll text me, and I'll fill you guys in next week.
Cool. Y'all heading out to Bristol?
Yep.
100K, Labor Day 100K. That'll be done by the time this airs.
BTE, Labor Day 100K.
Got to get the BTE in there.
Yep.
We're wishing y'all all the luck.
We need all the luck.
I don't think that's going to be enough, but we'll make it look good.
Yep. Hey, I got a motor and in the dragster, and so we're going to, after a few weeks off, Alan Sherman got me all hooked up. We made 1,030 horsepower, so we're going to go see what that thing will run now. I think it'll be faster than 487 now, Jake. So
that would probably be good.
Yeah, that would be nice. My son wants it to run a little faster, so I think
Don't be surprised if it's not. Get the same torque converter, different dynos, different numbers. I've been down that road, but as long as it goes the same damn number every time, I don't care how fast it goes.
That's true. So Alan's like, shift it here and do this and do that. I'm like, man, I'm in bracket mode. He goes, I don't give a damn. That's where it needs to be. That's where it wants to be. Do this. I'm like, yes, sir. You built it. You get to tell me where you want it. So we'll get her tuned in and we'll see what she does. But yeah, looking forward to going racing again. And the son's junior, Austin's junior, is all good. And he got to race, and we should be able to both go race now. So here after this weekend, we'll start hitting it and getting him some experience. But his little car's turned out really well. And the Roofonauts did a great job on putting that car together for us. And it's just, it's actually way more fun than I was expecting already. So
we closed out last week's show on it may or may not have rained out. It may or may not have been a failure or a success. I don't know if it froze.
Nope, you're good.
Oh, it was an overwhelming success at KillCare for the second annual Working Man's 10 Grands. When I paid my tracker and I also paid a deposit, we confirmed the same date next year, the 27th, 28th, 29th. And we're going to have a good time. I might even hire Ryan Glickhorn. I don't know yet.
Shoot.
Yeah, so you had 300 plus at KillCare?
I had 354 total on Saturday. I had 292 in top and 62 in no box. That makes 354. Close enough. And then Sunday I had 288 in top and whatever else that makes in no box to make 248. So 60. Yeah, 348. Yeah, I obviously still haven't slept much. We had 354 car Saturday entries. Started almost an hour late at 11 a.m. Got everything done and a 16-bike shootout. Everything had buybacks, 32-bike shootout. Everything had buybacks when the final car went down a minute before curfew at 11:59.
Oh, wow. You were running them hard all day then.
Yeah, and we were down a couple times for some cleanups. And, you know, once we started, we were full throttle, did not stop. And, you know, the staff at KillCare was awesome. My crew did awesome. I kind of threw a couple people on the front gate that had never done that before, and they did it with, you know, a smile on their face for the most part, and it helped out a ton. So we'll be back at KillCare. I don't know how you couldn't go back there after that. They're very welcoming. It's not a bad drive, really, from anywhere. And
besides Texas.
Besides Texas.
How many people from Texas came?
None.
They had free entries.
Well, what happened was the ones that flew to Texas for the practice tree race had free entries, which is cool. I think I had a comp list of 10 or 12 people on it. I'm cool with that. I'm happy with that. Doesn't bother me a bit. Most of them doubled, so they made it worth it. I had a few people from New York. I know the Popples were there. Mark Talmadge was there. John Binkle was there from Pennsylvania. Mark Sullins drove the E85. Mark Sullins drove from Missouri. He had to go home early because his car broke. But I mean, man, it was wild. A bunch of Michiganders were there. A lot of people from Tennessee, Kentucky area. You know, it was kind of crazy to see because the track had a Thursday night test and tune session, and there was a lot of rigs in there. And I'm like, hey, you know, is this normal that you have this many? Oh yeah, yeah. We got a lot of people come in Thursday nights. And, you know, there'd be more if we allowed street tires. We didn't allow street tires because we wanted the racetrack to stay around. All right. And then like two rigs left. And I'm like, oh, Thursday night, we've got 80 entries on the ground. We're doing good. Friday rolls around. I'm like, yeah, it looks okay. And Friday night, man, it didn't stop all night long till like 2:30 in the morning. And I'm like, wow, we are going to have our hands full. And yep. Like they all got a time run at 10:45 a.m. We had a pit vehicle race that paid $1,000 to win, $500 to runner up, and $100 a semi. And
nice.
a big check. And there was 115 entries in that. It paid, you know, it was wild to even think that was even possible. We had to finish it Sunday morning. So that's how crazy it got. We couldn't go past curfew at the PA, and even with the golf carts, I had a lady threaten me that owns an adjacent piece of property because she was banned. It was wild. But it was definitely one for the history books. I have not caught up on sleep. Thursday, we got to start announcing at noon, and I plan on waking up at 11:55 and walking my happy tail down to the tower.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's awesome that your first event turned out good, and the second one sounds like it was even better. So, obviously, the venue change helped out, and people heard the word last year after that race, and looked like you had just as much positivity or positive comments this year. So looks like you found a little niche there, bud.
Yep. Everybody in box was happy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why not bring your happy customers back?
Yep.
There you go.
I will say that was really cool to see how many cars you end up getting. Cause I was watching weather, and you know, you watch people on Facebook, it's going to fucking rain. I don't know why y'all are going. And then I saw you had like 350. I was like, that's about fucking right. That's the way it's supposed to work. If the promoter tells you it's going to be okay, then you show up. And they did.
Yeah. And Thank the Lord, Dark Sky was right, because on Wednesday it looked like it was raining all day Saturday, raining all day Friday, and I'm like, man, I'm like, oh, I was going to make a decision Wednesday. I'm like, let me give it one more day before I cancel it. One more day. And on Thursday, like an hour before noon, when I promised it updated noon, I looked at it and I'm like, there's no fucking way. Like, there is literally no way. It showed me a window from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Friday, and the rain was gone by 2 a.m. Saturday. And man, did it freaking hit it on the head. It was spot on. And it was crazy. And I think, you know, I don't know if you were listening Sunday morning or not after the whole Run for the Money thing, but we were able to donate $2,000 to the Jenna Price Memorial Fund. It was a family that I was really close to when I started racing. The racers Run for the Money, it was $20 in the lanes, the best reaction time in each category, box and no box, got half the pot. The other half went to the Jenna Price Memorial Fund. It was to provide a scholarship every year. And it was $850 each way, and I rounded it up even more. I decided I had a good weekend, and I'm not a greedy person, so I wanted to pay for 2 years of scholarship because it's a $1,000 scholarship. So we ended up giving $2,000 to that, and then a couple people pitched in. So that's awesome. And if anybody wants to make a donation, just get with me and we'll make it happen.
Very nice. That's a nice touch, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. We do a Run for the Money every year. And last year we donated to the guy that got ran over down in Tennessee. I forget what racetrack that was at. By the ProMod, the big ProMod incident. No, it was awesome. It was one for the history books, and you learn something every year from this thing. And boy, did I learn a lot this year.
Yep.
Shoot.
Some people, you know, they get punched in the mouth like that and they just go away. It's good to see you're going to keep on going.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, I got to cut you loose, guys. I've got to run. We will catch you next week.
All right. See you later, guys.
I'm going to bed. We'll see you on the mic. Well, it'll be after the World for Break Challenge or the 100K. So we won't see you then. But all right. There you go. Congratulations to the winners. Yep. It's Ryan. Ryan won.
I hope.